So we're picking up from Memhe. Memhe. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Osir l'sachek b'shabbos v'yontiv b'kador. It is osir to play ball on Shabbos and Yontiv. It's a good thing I didn't see this one in high school. Osir l'sachek b'shabbos v'yontiv b'kador v'yesh matirin. And there are those who are matir. V'nagu l'hakel. The truth is, I didn't really play so much ball on Shabbos. My parents didn't usually let me. It wasn't really part of the, right, exactly. But once in a while, I was in, out of the house. We shot around a basketball once in a while. But we'll see. We're going to have to see if this applies to balls nowadays and in what context and in what surfaces. So let's take a look. Let's begin with what's the reason. It says here it's usher to play ball. So what's the reason? So if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Mishnah Berurah, excuse me, so the Mishnah Berurah says, why is it you're not allowed to play the kador? Bein im hi shal nair, niar, o shal eight. Doesn't matter what it's made out of. She'ein shem klialov machma sheroi l'sachekbo. The fact that it's something to play with doesn't mean that it has a shame kli. V'havei ke'evin, and it's like a stone, which is muksa machmas gufo. And therefore, even betiltu be'alma, it's going to be usher. It's going to be completely usher because of tiltu. So the Mishnah Berurah says the reason why you can't play ball. It's interestingly, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it just says you can't play ball. It doesn't say ball's muksa. It says you can't play ball. But when you look in the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, that's because it's muksa. That's why you can't play ball, because the ball is muksa. The Shiboli HaLeket, one of the Rishonim, Italian Rishon, so he brings down a different reason. It's in the Makoro sheet, source 110. The Shiboli HaLeket says the reason why you can't play ball is because the ball gets very, very dirty and disgusting because it's outside. So it gets covered with dirt. And therefore, it's muksa because it's really like dirt and like and things that are muksa machmas gufo, because it's not right to be played with at all. So whether it's because it gets very dirty, whether it's because it's like sticks and it doesn't have any real usage, you know, the fact that a bunch of kids want to play ball, that's not a real usage. That doesn't make this thing into a kli. So that is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. However, if you look in the Ramah says, V'yesh matirin v'nogu l'hakel. There are those who are matir, and our minhag is to be mekel. What's the reason? So says the Mishnah Berurah, Efsher sheta'amam shekeban she'osri l'kach, since it's made to be a ball, so and it's miyuchad for this use forever, that's what you're using it for, so it should be no different than what we saw above in Sif Chaf Beis. You remember that we saw in Sif Chaf Beis, if you flip back for a second, in Sif Chaf Beis, that is the Sif where we learned that even rocks and sticks can be set aside, as long as they're set aside for indefinite use, they can be set aside and they can be turned from something that's muksa into something that's not muksa. So why should a ball be any worse than that? You know, even the Shulchan Aruch's whole sad here, that it's not really heavy, doesn't really have a use. It's a little hard to hear that. What do you mean it doesn't have a use? It's a ball. Of course it has a use. Okay, maybe it doesn't have a Shabbos use because, you know, we're not going to play tackle football. But to have a catch in your backyard, you know, father and son have a catch in the backyard, what's the big deal? Why is that a problem? Why is that not a use? And sure enough, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says is the reason for the Ramah, because it shouldn't be no worse than sticks. So the Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he's quoted in the footnote in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. So he's quoted as saying that this sif does not apply nowadays. This machlokas is back in the olden days. Maybe they didn't play ball. Maybe the balls that they were referring to were things that weren't really balls. They were things that you found around the house and you decided to use it for a game. You know, something you found in the backyard. But nowadays, where the balls are manufactured as balls, that's what they are. You're not turning something into a ball. It's manufactured as a ball. So it's very hard to argue that it's not a kli if it's made specifically in a factory in order to be used as a ball. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, I'll bring it up here on the on the screen here. So he says here in the footnote where my cursor is, V'alzeh kosef hagon Rav Nevensal Shlita, that he heard from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that hoil umiyutsarim kekelim maisa uman, since they're made professionally as balls, as kelim, even for Sfardim, even the Shulchan Aruch here who says that it's usur, even they would agree that it's not a problem. V'chein hevi b'sefer Shvus Yitzchak b'shem Hagon Rav Yosef Shalmel Yashiv, that Rav Yashiv felt the same way. Shebizmanenu, since the balls are miyutzar miyuchad, b'yitzur miyuchad, v'nefach l'tasiya, it's even a whole industry now, b'fnei atzma. So for sure these things, balls have a shem kli, and they're not considered muksa. However, in the Yalkut Yosef, so Rav Avadja is quoted as holding, like the Ikar Adin that we find in the Shulchan Aruch, and holding that it is muksa. And he even writes here, the Yalkut Yosef is written by Rav Avadja's son. So he writes, and even though you're going to tell me, Hein emesh yesh makom lomar, that since it's made in a factory and it's created as a ball in order to play with, ein maisa gadol, that would turn it into a kli, and it has really nothing in common with a stick or a stone. Still, mikol makom l'nyandina, we're going to hold like the mechaber. We're not going to go against the psak of the mechaber, and the halacha is going to be that we still consider it to be muksa. And he says, my father, Shlita, at the time, his father was still alive, Rav Avadja, was maskim, Ladina, that it's aser. So it comes out that for Svardim, again, I don't know what common practice is in the Svardic world, but certainly here, Rav Avadja and his son, Paskin, according to the Dina, the Me'ikar Adin of the Shulchan Aruch, that a ball is muksa and cannot be used. Ashkenazim, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashiv, you see that the poskim were mako regarding a ball, because nowadays balls are specifically designed and manufactured to be used on Shabbos as balls, and therefore to be used as Shabbos as a kli. There are other factors you have to always consider when playing ball. Like, for instance, if there's no Erev, that's a problem. It's a problem to throw a ball back and forth if there's no Erev. You have to make sure that you're either in Rosh Hashanah Yachid or someplace with an Erev. There's also an issue of playing on a dirt floor. Chazal asered playing jacks or marbles or games like that, any game on a dirt floor, because you might come because you want the surface to be flat, right? That no kid wants to play jacks or marbles if the surface isn't flat. So you might inadvertently come and start smoothing the playing surface, and that would be a problem of charisha. Charisha is any preparatory behavior, any preparation to dirt or to soil, which makes it more functionable. And therefore, to straighten or flatten the earth would be a problem of, if you would end up doing it, would be Nisr D'oraisa. And therefore, Midrabanan, they assert anything, any activity on a dirt floor that you might come to straighten it out. The truth is, the Mishnah Berurah actually quotes this. If you look back in the Mishnah Berurah on Kuf Nun Ches, and Kuf Nun Ches, so if you take a look, towards the end, he says, the kol ze, you see where I am, it's in the standard editions at the last line on the page. The kol ze kishe sochek shelo al gabe karka. If you play not on the dirt, aval al gabe karka, l'kulei alma, it's aser because of the chshash of ashuye gumos, of straightening out the surface. He then writes, mikol makom ein limchos b'nashim v'ketanim t'mutav shoshogim v'alyu mezidim. If you have, let's say, a child, and the child, if you tell him that he's not allowed to do it, he's going to do it anyway. So it's better, let him do it b'shogeg. This is one of those areas where we would say mutav shoshogim v'alyu mezidim. Now, what about on a paved surface? So in general, we assume that Chazal, when they assered dirt surfaces, they included in that a gezeira on paved surfaces, up to other surfaces, that they assered all surfaces. So in the times of the Mishnah Berurah, where the Mishnah Berurah was living, there were probably some homes that might have had some type of paved floor, but many of the homes did not have paved floors. They had dirt floors. And therefore, the halacha was that even if, like, there's a problem, let's say, to sweep or to do other things that might be a problem on a dirt floor, so they ushered it also on a paved floor. So seemingly that would prohibit playing sports even on a paved floor. So the general halacha is, it very much is dependent on where you are. If most, and the Be'er Halacha writes this, if most floors are paved, then the gezeira does not extend to paved floors. It's only in an area where most floors are dirt floors, so then paved floors are included in the Isser. So in area, to bring this very practical, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa writes, I believe, that to play soccer outdoors on Shabbos is a problem. To play soccer outdoors on the dirt is a problem, because you might come to, if there's a hole, you might fill in the hole in order to make the surface, to make it an even surface. So we don't play soccer on grass or on dirt, besides the other issues, maybe ripping up the grass. But let's say you have just a dirt surface, you can't play on Shabbos soccer on that type of surface. You also would not be able to play on a concrete surface, because since many soccer games are played on dirt surfaces, so to play right next door on a concrete surface would be included in the gezeirah. But games that are generally always played on solid concrete surfaces, he actually quotes. I'll show it to you here. It's cute to see it in writing in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. He writes, Mishake kadur al gabi shulchan oba avir. Something that's generally not played on the ground. Either it's played in the air, like having a catch in the backyard, or on a shulchan, kigon tennis shulchan, table tennis, right? Or tennis table, as he writes it. Ping pong, ein lasor. Doesn't matter if it's pesoch habayis or chutz habayis, you know, if there's an eruv, where you need an eruv, you know, meaning not in your backyard. So that would be okay to play ping pong, even to play ping pong outdoors, because ping pong is generally played on hard surfaces. It's not played on dirt surfaces. And so to have a catch, because the ball's not muksa. If you hold like the Ashkenazi psak, the ball's not muksa. If Sephardi psak, then you might have a problem. But to have a catch in the backyard, it's not generally, even though you play that standing on the grass, but it's not something that you would ever come to straighten out the backyard. But mischake kadur al adama al desha, but to play a game on dirt or on grass, like for instance, kadur regel, soccer, that's usur. V'afilo mishtach merutzaf, even on a ritzuf, on a floored surface, meaning a concrete, or like for instance, a migrash merutzaf, asphalt, or beton or concrete. So that would be a problem, but not to play on a surface, on a paved surface inside a home. Again, it goes based on what is the general usage of this game. So when people play indoors, indoor games are always going to be indoors on paved surfaces or finished surfaces. So to play a soccer in the basement is seemingly okay, at least in terms of muksa and in terms of the floor surface. To play soccer outdoors would be a problem. The other issue, obviously, that I haven't spoken about yet is the appropriateness. Is it an appropriate Shabbos activity to play sports? Meaning, let's say you're in the basement, and therefore you're playing with a ball that's not muksa if you're Ashkenazi, and you're playing a game that's generally played indoors. It's an indoor game. Now the only question is, you know, the sanctity of Shabbos and whether something is appropriate for Shabbos. There's Yerushalmi that's quoted. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes it. Others quote it. Tells a story about a city called Tor Shimon, that the entire city was destroyed because they played ball on Shabbos. That's what the Yerushalmi quotes. Now, there are a tremendous amount of details that are missing from this story. Like, what does that mean they were playing sports in Tor Shimon? Does that mean, like, instead of going to shul, they were playing sports? Does that mean that they had, like, adult tackle football leagues and everybody was coming down to the stadium and cheering? Or does that mean, like, a father was having catch in the backyard with his son and the city was destroyed? So there are a lot of details that are missing from the story. So all we could take out of it is that it should be something which is an appropriate Shabbos activity. So I imagine that that's partially dependent on your community and partially dependent on the family. If you're asking me personally, I think it's fine to have a little catch in the back porch with a ball, or to, you know, I don't know, kick around a little ball in the basement. I think that that's something, you know, I always, when people ask me that, I always say that I think there's a difference if it's something. I think my parents actually even said this, like there's a difference between changing into shorts and t-shirt and playing a sports game than keeping your Shabbos clothes on and throwing a ball a little bit around in the backyard. But again, that's going to be a question. It might even be a sensitivity question of what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. An interesting corollary discussion, which is not directly related to balls, but it is recreational, is the question of bicycles. Are you allowed to ride a bicycle on Shabbos? Fascinating question. There was the Shaila was asked of the Ben Ish Chai. I'm going to bring it up here on the screen. It's very interesting. He was asked, and maybe I think I saw Yofiel here. Is Yofiel here? Yeah, I saw Yofiel up here. So Yofiel's family is from India. outside of Bombay, right? Is that where they live? Right. Your parents still live there?
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. So I think we'll take a look at the tshuva. I think we have a very international group. You guys didn't realize how international this group is. So we have a very interesting tshuva here that's asked of Yofiel lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh Gimel, for those of you who aren't from Ramat Beit Shemesh Gimel. But and I think if I'm correct, he works as a mashkiach, and he works as a mashkiach in plants in India, since he's a native speaker, so he's able to be there and to speak the local language. Am I getting that correct, Yofiel?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. Right. Okay. Very good. So I wanted to share this interesting tshuva, since here this was the Ben Ish Chai. So he was asked like this: Nishalti me'es hayakar hamaskil. I was asked by my dear friend Meir Tzalach, Beir Bombay. I imagine Beis Men Beis Yud Yud. That looks to me like Bombay. Is that how they spell it? I don't know if that's how they spell it in modern Hebrew. But he says, I was asked from by my friend, there is a certain carriage, which they call a gari or a jerry. How do you say bicycle in Indian? Maybe that will, do you know, Yofiel, how they say bicycle? It's not that word. Okay. So that, what is this thing called a gari or a jerry? Kavua bo shnei galgalim. There are two wheels. It's not pulled by anything. It's not pulled by animals. It's not pulled by people. It goes on its own by the person sitting there. He moves the galgalim with his feet. And we wanted to know, is this thing allowed to be used on Shabbos? So this is the question I was asked of the Ben Ish Chai. So what's his answer? So he writes, Nira lahatir lirkov bagari zeh hanizkar b'shel. I think it's okay. And he says, I don't think that this is zilzal of Shabbos, of Ubdin D'chol, because you're sach hakol, you're riding it within the city, you're staying inside the Erev, and it's all considered, there's an Erev here, so I don't know what would be the problem with this. So the Ben Ish Chai is matir riding a bicycle. Very interesting. Sounds like it's considered a kli, it's not muksa, doesn't resemble a malacha, so he says that it's okay. Now, not everybody agreed with this. I'll bring up the page again here. There's a little bit of a debate if he changed his mind. There was the former Rosh Hashiva of the Yeshiva Porat Yosef, so he writes, he was an editor of the Ben Ish Chai's writings, and he was asked by Rav Ovadia Yosef many, many years ago when Rav Ovadia Yosef was very young. So he was asked, and that, because there was a rumor that the Ben Ish Chai might have changed his mind at some point in life, and he said that he didn't change his life. So within the Sephardi world of Psak, there is a little bit of a debate about if this is the accepted halacha. But that's definitely what appears here in the tshuva from the Ben Ish Chai. However, the Tzitz Eliezer, so he argues, and he writes as follows. He writes here, this source here, 114, is a whole discussion about whether he changed his mind or not. Lemaisa, the Tzitz Eliezer, the Ben Ish Chai died in 1909, just to give you a little bit of time, so you could put a little bit of a time frame on, or a time period, this question of the Ben Ish Chai. So Tzitz Eliezer, who only passed away recently, so he says here that he thinks there are three reasons why it's usher. Number one, you might go outside the tchum. You know, you're riding on a bike. You know, there's a famous story of Elisha ben Abuya, that his after he had gone off the derech, so his student, Rabbi Meir, continued to learn from him. You know, he said, when they asked Rabbi Meir, how can you continue to learn from Acher, from Elisha ben Abuya? So Rabbi Meir said, I eat the fruit and I throw away the peel. But he was playing with fire, and there's a famous story in the Gemara that they're talking on Shabbos. Elisha ben Abuya is up on a horse, riding on a horse, and Rabbi Meir is standing next to him. It's a funny story that Rabbi Meir is standing next to him, and they're talking and learning on Shabbos. And as they're talking, Elisha ben Abuya turns to Rabbi Meir and says, "You know, we're getting to the tchum now, so I don't think you want to keep going. Like, I'm going to keep riding out of the tchum, but I think you probably want to stop here." Now, I guess they were so engrossed in learning. So some people get engrossed in learning and some people get engrossed in their bicycles. So you can be very into your bicycle ride and you can accidentally go outside the tchum. That's reason number one. Reason number two, he says it's uvdin d'chol. What does it mean uvdin d'chol? It's a weekday activity. It's not a Shabbistic activity. And he even tries to connect it to the mitzvah saseh of Shabbason. I think we might have quoted this at one point in our learning, that the Ramban learns that the pasuk then says that Shabbos Shabbason, that it should be a rest day, is an asay besides the malachos. It's an asay not to do things that take away from the rest nature of Shabbos. And the last reason he quotes here is a gezeira, you might fix it. We know that you're not allowed to play musical instruments on Shabbos because, you know, anyone who plays a guitar knows that a string can snap, and you might, in the moment of playing, you might try to start fixing it, and you might fix the musical instrument. This is the reason why we don't play musical instruments. So he says similar thing here. You might have the chain come off or the tire pop, and a person might come to fix it on Shabbos. Now, you might be saying, oh, wait a second, what are we creating new gezeiros? Like, that, they didn't make a gezeira on this. They made a gezeira you can't play musical instruments. They never said you can't ride bicycles. So we would have to say somehow that it's either an extension of that gezeira. Others say that it's an extension of riding on a horse. We don't know how to ride on a horse on Shabbos because you might grab off a branch in order to hit the horse for whatever the reason is, that gezeira was made on all types of transportation. So however we understand it, there is this assumed, according to the Tzitz Eliezer, that riding a bicycle would be a problem. What about scooters and tricycles and things like that? So this is something that parents always ask, like, is it okay for my child to ride on a scooter or rollerblades on Shabbos? So in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he writes that kid bikes and scooters and tricycles, things like that, you don't have to stop a child from riding them in the house. And if there's an Eruv, so even to do it outside the house. And he says a corkinet, which is like a scooter or roller skates. He says that those are things that if they're a young child, it would be okay. He says, unless it's a place where it's not accepted. If you live in a community where the community, people don't ride these things on Shabbos, so you shouldn't ride them on Shabbos. But theoretically, he doesn't see a problem with it if it's a child who's going to be doing it. Okay. You could take a look. That's in the source sheet on 117. If you have young children and you're considering whether you want to let them ride a scooter, so I would encourage you to take a look at the source sheet, source 117, and read the psak inside. Okay, let's keep going. We have a few small little things here, but I want to make sure that we finish them off. So Mem Zayin. Mem Zayin is about a very interesting question. A garment of clothing that has shatnez in it. Yesh osrim letaltel beged shatnez, yesh matirin. What do you think are the studim here? So on the one hand, and the Mishnah Berurah spells this out, on the one hand, it has no use. It's shatnez. It has no use. I can't wear it. So it should be muksa. On the other hand, it is a garment. It's a kli. It's something that normally anybody would wear. It just happens to be that there's this external isser that's preventing me from using it. But inherently, it's something that I should be able to use. So as you see, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it as a suffix. Yesh osrin v'yesh matirin. So usually when we have a yesh v'yesh, we say halacha ki yesh basra. We go like the second yesh, and therefore we should be mekel. Yesh matirin. And that's what Rav Avadi Yosef writes. But the Mishnah Berurah says here to be machmir. Mishnah Berurah says, or at least he suggests that way. What does he say? Via ikar kesfar rishona. He says that the ikar is that we hold that it is a problem. So an interesting corollary question or related question. Let's say you have a talus that the tzitzis strings rip off. So now you have a four-cornered garment that you're not able to wear because it only has tzitzis on three corners. One corner the tzitzis ripped. Right, you're in shul and you get your right. You know, you walk by a chair and it gets stuck in where the surface of the chair meets the leg. And you walk and it rips the whole string out. So now what's the story? So seemingly, if you pass like Rav Avadja, it should be okay if to bring it home, to carry it, to walk, to move it. If you hold like the Mishnah Berurah, it should be a problem. But the Shevet Alevi is a very interesting svara. The din is that a borrowed garment is not chayev in tzitzis, a borrowed garment. So he says that theoretically, you should be able to, you know, it's not something that's really functionless on Shabbos. Unlike the shatneis, nobody can wear the shatneis, but the garment that has a tzitzit string that fell off, so you could theoretically give it to a friend, and a friend can wear it. So a borrowed garment is not a problem. And therefore, he suggests that he would think that maybe it would not be a problem. Okay. Weiter. Non-tuvled dishes. So also an interesting corollary question or a related question. Let's say you have dishes that were not tuvled. So they have no use on Shabbos, non-tuvled dishes. I can't use them. So they should be muksa. On the other hand, inherently they're dishes. So shouldn't we go back to the same machlokas between Rav Avadya, the two opinions in Mem Zayin, Rav Avadya versus the Mishnah Berurah? Is it something that we consider to be muksa or not? So here also we can come up with a little knetch, just like the Shevet Alevi came up with regarding tzitzis, and that is that non-tuvled dishes can be used for non-food usages on Shabbos, right? You can, you can put, I was going to say coins, but you really can't put coins. But if you're having a game, you're playing a game with your kids. So, you know, every time the pawns get all the pieces, you can store the pieces in the chess game on the plate. The plate, it's not that the plate can't be used on Shabbos. It just can't be used for eating purposes. Okay, another interesting discussion here comes up in Mem Tess is about a broom. Broom is not a problem. It's allowed to be moved. It's a klisha malachta leheter. In Nun, the Shulchan Aruch says a very interesting question. Harashba was matir to be metaltel an astrolabe, an astrolabe. I sent out a video. I don't know how many of you got a chance to see the video about what it is. It's not a lot of people, I think, read the Shulchan Aruch and they think it's not binoculars. What are those things called? That you go out and you look at the sun? Telescope. I think a lot of people think it's a telescope. It's not a telescope. It's a very different type of kli. So the Rashba says you're allowed. It's not muksa. And so too Sifrei Chachmos. What's Sifrei Chachmos mean? Secular books. Secular wisdom books. A science book. A physics book. And according to the Rambam, he says he thinks that there's a suffix. So what's going on here? So you have to look back in Shin Zion. Shin Zion, we're in Shin Ches. If you look in Shin Zion, Yud Zion, so there's a machlokas there between the Rashba and the Rambam about whether you're allowed to learn on Shabbos things that are secular wisdom. Shulchan Aruch says, Osir lilmod b'Shabbos v'yantiv, zulas b'divrei Torah. You're only allowed to learn Torah. Even Sifrei Chachma is Osir. V'yesh mi shematir. It's so amazing. That first opinion that Osir secular wisdom is the Rambam. The Rambam asks secular wisdom on Shabbos. Comes the Rashba, and the Rashba is Matir. The Rashba says that he thinks it's okay. Ramban, the Rashba. So, seemingly, we would think that this would be dependent on that machlokas. If you learn like the Rambam, that it's also to learn with these things and to use these things, so then they're muksa. And if you learn like the Rashba, so they're not muksa. But in the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes from the Gra that everybody holds that they're not muksa, that they're okay. And if we would use some of the logic that we've been using until now, so there certainly should be plenty of book, of usages for a book besides reading it. Even if you hold it with usher to read it, or you want to get a little kid up at the table, so you put the, nowadays we don't have phone books. You know, now we look up everything online, so you can like stack some iPhones up, I guess, and put the kid on top of the iPhones. But, you know, you have a physics book, so you put a physics book down and the kid can sit on the physics book. You know, there are other usages for books, but he says that he thinks that, the Mishnah Berurah thinks that he thinks these books are not a problem. In the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he says that binoculars are okay. You can use binoculars, which we do all the time on Shabbos because the back of our house has a very nice, very far view since we're all the way on the very southern tip of Beit Shemesh. So we're able to actually see all the way to Hebron, the very edge of Hebron we can see from our porch. And certainly all of the Arab towns around Hebron. So many times my kids sit out there with their binoculars and they look. You're allowed to use binoculars, allowed to adjust binoculars. It's not a problem on Shabbos. All right, our last discussion is going to be about watches. So if you look in Nun Aleph, in the Shulchan Aruch, Nun Aleph. Ma shemora al hashaos, something which is mora on shaos, meaning it tells you the time. Shikorin ariluz, or whatever, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Bein shehu shel chol, bein shehu shel minacher. It doesn't matter if it's made out of sand, meaning like an hourglass, I think it's called, a sand clock, or if it's some other type of time-telling device. Now, let's remember, the Shulchan Aruch was written by Rav Yosef Karo, who lived in the early 1500s. Okay, so they didn't have, Armatron watches yet. So he says here that if it's, whether it's a sand clock, whether it's some other type of clock, yesh l'stapik im mutter l'tatlo, there's a question of whether it's muksa or not. Ukfar pashat haminog, says the Rama, la'aser. So amazing. According to the Shulchan Aruch and according to the Rama, anything which tells the time is muksa. Why in the world should it be muksa? So the Shulchan Aruch here even tells you, if you look in the Bera Gola, the suffix that he quotes, he says, yesh l'stapik, if it's mutter, so he quotes this from the Maharil. The Maharil was a very late Rishon in Germany. He lived in the 1400s in Germany. So late 1400s, I believe. So the Maharil already had this suffix about a clock. What's the suffix? Why should a clock be a problem? Why should it not be a problem? So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he tells you why. There is a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, I'm in Kuf Samach Zayin in the Mishnah Berurah. He says, it's Dami L'Medida Sazman O Hatzel, and it's Bechlal Klish Melach Tal Isser, because Medida on Shabbos is Aser. You're not allowed to measure things on Shabbos. The reason why you're not allowed to measure things on Shabbos is because measuring was something that was usually associated with business. And therefore, they Asered measuring on Shabbos. Now, the question that we're going to have to address is, does this apply nowadays to our modern day watches? So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, in Kuf Samaches, so the Mishnah Berurah says, U bezeiger shalanu, with our zeigers, which is a clock, yesh lahatir, we're making. And he quotes here from the Prima Gadim, it's also a tshuva from the Panum Meiros, the Achronim were making regarding hand watches, because they said that a hand watch, first of all, serves as a tachshit, it serves as a jewelry item, it's something that people wear in their hand, or they wear it on their, one of those chains with the clock that you put into your front pocket of your vest, a pocket watch, I guess it's called. So those types of hand pieces or wrist watches, so people wear them, first of all, for style. That's number one. And they're certainly not commonly now used as part of Mekach u'Memkar. It's not our primary usage. So a hand watch would be okay. What about an hourglass or one of these, I think it's called an hourglass. Is that what it's called? When you have the sand and you flip the thing over and the sand goes down. So those, the Mishnah Berurah in Kuf Samachay, and Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes them this way, that those should be usher. Those are measuring devices. Maybe when it comes to the Zeiger, when it comes to the hand watch, we can say that it's different because it's a tachshit and it's not associated with business, but a sand clock, a sand watch, would certainly be a problem, Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa quotes. Now, there is a very important chiddush that somebody sent me last night from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, where Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that thermometers are not a problem. You're allowed to take temperature, obviously not a digital thermometer, but a regular mercury thermometer, you're able to use those on Shabbos. Why? I thought all measuring is a problem on Shabbos. And the answer is, because thermometers were never used for business. That's not why you use them. Measuring, I understand, you went into the store and they measure out half a pound of this and half a pound of that and a quart of this, but taking someone's temperature, that wasn't traditionally used as part of business. And therefore, it was never included in the Gezerah. The Gezerah was not on any measuring, is the Chiddush of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It's specifically measuring that was generally used for business. He says, therefore, nowadays, maybe we can even, at least this builds the case, that even nowadays, who uses a sand clock in business, right? You ever go into a lawyer's office? He's like, hold on, let me take out my sand clock here because I need to bill you for the hour, right? Nobody uses a sand clock nowadays. The only people who use sand clocks are kids when they're playing board games. And it's very common. People say, oh, you can't use, know, you have a board game, you can't use the clock. You know, even if it's a clock, like a sand clock, you can't use it on Shabbos because it's part of the Isser of measuring. So according to this Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you could certainly make the argument that it shouldn't be a problem. It shouldn't be part of this because they were derabbanan. Now, he ends it off with a tzarachian. So we're not going to paskin. You have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi for a psak. But he leaves it off as a tzarachian. But we certainly can understand. So hand watches nowadays, even though, again, according to the Shulchan Aruch, clocks are a problem. But says the Mishnah Berurah that hand clocks are not. It's the heter of the achronim because it's a tachshit. Further, we can add to that Rav Shlomo Zalman's svara, which is that nowadays hand watches, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, everybody wears a watch nowadays, not for business. Even people who are not involved in business, everybody wears a watch. Nobody associates it anymore with business. What about digital watches? Do you have to be concerned that you might hit the buttons? You know, maybe all the time during the week. You know, you wake up every morning and you check you hit the little light to see what time it is. So do we have to be concerned about that? So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that we don't have to. He says that we know that when you have hot coals in your house, you're not allowed to leave them exposed if you want to keep something on them on Shabbos. You have to, right, garo for cut them. You have to either cover them or you have to clear them out. Why do you have to do that? Because we're concerned you're going to stoke the coals, right? Stoke. The only time that word is used is when people are learning Hilchos Shabbos. You're going to stoke the coals. Why are you going to stoke the coals? Because that's normal. That's what people do when they're around fires. They stoke the coals. So says Rav Moshe, that was the only place they made that gezeirah, specifically by coals. But you don't have to worry by your clock that you're going to stoke the coals. We don't make that gezeirah. Although some of the achronim say that it's really very much dependent on the person. This is the reason why, by the way, mi'ikar adin, we don't have a chiyuv to cover all of our, you know, some people have around their house over their light switches, they have like a nice little thing. It says like L'chavot Shabbos Kodesh, and they cover all their light switches. Mi'ikar adin, you don't have to do that. Why not? It's like stoking the coals. We should be concerned. You're going to flip on the light. So Rav Moshe writes, we don't have that concern in general. That's not the general halacha. Unless, other achronim write, a person sees that this is an area where they are nichshol in a lot. The person sees that they are constantly flipping on and off the lights unknowingly, so or unwittingly, so therefore they should cover them. All right, just very quickly, a smartwatch. So these smartwatches like Fitbits and things like that. So these are actually a very big debate. If you Google it, you could find some very interesting articles that bring down the two different studim about it. The general assumed psak is that they're a problem on Shabbos because, first of all, a lot of them, when you move your arm, you know, like you move your arm into position, they light up, like the display turns on. They're constantly gauging your heart rate and how many steps you're taking. And you could say that this is a davar she'eino miskaven, but it's certainly psak reisha d'nichale. You want all that information. That's why you bought the watch. If you didn't want the watch, why would you buy the watch? The reason you're buying the watch is because you want it to keep track of your heart rate and you want it to keep track of how many steps you're taking. That's why you got the thing. So many think it's a problem. There are some who are mako when it comes to electricity that's done in a way that's not detectable. When electricity is done in a non-detectable way, some are mako about electricity. So we'll leave that up again. You can ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Certainly, if there's a health reason, like a serious health reason, not just like, you know, it's cool or not just, you know, you're trying to shed a few extra pounds. You know, everybody's a little overweight these days. That's just, you know, the reality of living in 2020. But so you're trying to shed a few extra pounds. It's one thing. But if it's for a real medical condition, right, they want to, you know, the doctors want to track your heart rate. So that's obviously a much more serious shaila. The last thing I want to talk about just for 1 minute, and just because I sent it out in the video, are mechanical watches. Now, I don't know how many people nowadays wear mechanical watches. I think those are not as in style anymore to wear the mechanical watches. Certainly the type that you have to sit and twist, I forgot what the term that they use, but they're watches that you have to wind the watch. So people don't generally do that nowadays. But there is a little bit of a shaila if that's considered fixing the watch. Because without twisting it, the watch doesn't work. When you twist it, so it allows the watch to work. So it's a little bit of a deal if that's considered fixing on Shabbos to do something like that. Because you're making it from something that doesn't function into something that functions, even though you're not doing any malacha. And if you saw the video that I sent out, you're really just twisting a spring and creating, I don't know if the word is torque, or you're creating kinetic energy or whatever. You're kinetic, creating energy, not kinetic, built up energy. I don't know what the exact word is. What was that?
Potential.
Potential. You're building up potential energy that's going to open up slowly, and it's going to power the watch, if you saw there on the video. So the only reason I'm bringing it up is because kids often ask about those cars that was in the video, the car that you pull back and then you let it go. Or like, I don't know, sometimes that is like these little chickens, you know, you turn the thing and then like the little chicken walks for a little bit because you spun the spring. So poskim are generally makel about that because it's not like the toy is broken and now it's working. The nature of it is that you do it back and forth, you do it back and forth. You know, the watch, the idea with the watch is that you never want it to stop. You want to always be winding it in order so that it never stops. If it stops, it's annoying. You don't want it to stop. So there you're really fixing it. But the nature of the toy is that that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be going on and off. You know, you don't sit there chasing after the little chicken, continuing to spin it all the time so it never slows down. That's just not the way that the toy works. So these types of games and these cars that you would pull back and then it speeds forward, so those are not considered muksa and those are allowed to be used on Shabbos. Okay, the last sif, we already made reference to it, so I'll just read it just for the sake of reading the last sif. Muksa la'ashirim havi muksa v'afilu aniyim e'metatlin. This is what we spoke about. There's an interesting Mishnah Berurah here that we made reference to earlier when we were learning muksa, and that is that we generally do things based on the bialim, and therefore, right, we did this when we discussed pieces of material that are 3x3 that only an ani would use. But if the owner is an ani and he would use it, it's not muksa, even for an usher. Even if an usher would never use some leftover piece of garment that's 3x3, he would throw it away, but it's not muksa. So that this is because the ani would use it. So this is the idea that we usually define muksa based on the bialim. Baruch Hashem, we finished Simin Shin Ches. It's a long 52 se'ifim. I think this has been our 11th or 12th shir. So we definitely, put a good 11, 12 hour, 10 hours into learning this. So we definitely, should feel very proud of ourselves. So yasha koach to everybody. And as I said, we will mirtz Hashem next week. We're going to discuss buses. I hope we'll be able to do it in around 2 or 3 shiurim. And then we'll hopefully start a chazara.